Hello and welcome to Reg Talks, the show where we unpack how regulation and technology are reshaping financial services in Asia and beyond. I'm your host, Klaus Christensen, CEO and co-founder of Know Your Customer. Today we're recording live from the Money 2020 Asia show floor in vibrant Bangkok. And today we're shining the spotlight on the heartbeat of every economy, small and medium-sized businesses, and how they access payment infrastructure. My guest today is Maria Peralta, Director of SMB Acceptance Solutions at Visa. Maria's career has taken her from Latin America to Europe and now Singapore, where she leads Visa's efforts to bring millions of micro merchants and startups into the digital payments ecosystem across Southeast Asia. Whether it's acceptance programs that turn smartphones into point-of-sale devices or partnerships with RegTech startups, Maria is at the center of all. Maria, thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you so much, Klaus. It's a pleasure being here and meeting you, of course, and being in the vibrant Thailand as well.
Yeah. How did you like the event?
Oh, amazing. I had so many meetings. I'm also part of the Rise Up Mentor and Leadership Program for Women in Payments. So very glad to be here.
Yeah. Rachel also
does a
lot in that, our last podcast guest. Very interesting. Yeah, I love it here too. Bangkok is always nice anyway. And this event is small enough that you do meet, and it's really good people here.
Yeah, you form deeper connections.
Yes, you do.
I like it.
Exactly. there's other events like the Singapore FinTech Festival, but then you have 70,000 other attendees. That's a different thing. Yeah. But it's exhausting. This is the last day.
Oh, yeah.
And we're both off to the airport after this. Let's dig into it. So your global payments journey and SME focus is something I'd love to hear a bit about, because it's always interesting, the background. You've worked across multiple regions, including Latin America, Europe, Asia. How does that shape your approach? You ended up Visa with the lead of SMB Acceptance Solutions. How does your background go into shaping your approach and helping small business embrace digital payments?
Yeah, absolutely. So each region is unique and it has its challenges and opportunities. I like to kind of compare them in the following way. So Latin America has this entrepreneurial spirit, this fire, but the infrastructure sometimes is a bit behind. Europe has amazing financial systems, but sometimes there is a need of like more startup-y culture to keep up with the tech-savvy customers. Well, I used to live in Germany, and if it wasn't during COVID, I would still pay in cash in some restaurants, but not because I wanted to, but because the merchants were not keeping up. But now things have changed. And I think Asia or Asia Pacific is kind of a combination of the two. There is a lot of digital savvy customers and even merchants as well, but there's still a huge unbanked population. It has kind of uniqueness in that sense. But I always say to everybody, I arrived to the big leagues in Asia Pacific. There's a lot of things going on, but there's a lot of fire everywhere of passion.
And thereby opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a kind of similar journey there. I'm originally from Germany, so obviously there is a connection. And I did start a small business before there and ran that. It's still running, actually. But to create the bigger business of Know Your Customer, we came here to Asia and started it here.
Wonderful.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Initiatives like your company's rapid seller onboarding can activate new merchants in as little as 7 days. What pain points did you target and which process changes made it possible? And how can we get even faster?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, always. Speed is a must. So definitely long onboarding processes is one of the key pain points for small merchants. They might not even be able to describe it, but if you think about digital payments and specifically with cards, they will say, no, I need, I don't know, to get a bunch of paperwork. I need to go to a branch. It is very complex. I don't even know what I need for that particular process. So Rapid Seller Onboarding comes as a solution for digital onboarding, where we are kind of expediting that process, combining some kind of simple process in the background, but also kind of minimizing that interaction and making it very friendly for small merchants, which at the end just want to run their business, right? They don't want anything else and hopefully grow their business. Yeah. So this has really helped. We have a very interesting use case with Maya in Philippines. They started using it and now they're digitally onboarding their small merchants so that it works.
Side question to that. I believe these SMEs are coming from Europe. We have just a different viewpoint here. But coming to Asia, you just realize how important they are here. In both in scale, there's so many micro and small businesses, and how important they are for their economies at scale. And as a third point, how important they are in lifting people out of poverty or very simple circumstances up into the middle class. I think that's a positive thing that you'd absolutely support with these issues.
Absolutely. If we think about some stats in Asia Pacific, there are 200 million small businesses, 60% of contribution to the GDP, and 70% of local employment.
I didn't have those figures in mind. Yeah, incredible.
It's gigantic. So if touching this space alone, we're kind of helping the livelihood of many, many people, many families, and uplifting economies altogether. So it's crucial. So for now, digital onboarding is our solution. To answer your question on even further speed, we're exploring new things, but this is kind of where we're now. But we're always open.
It's a great step anyway, if you can open a business and then the week after that, you can actually accept payments. Great. Tap to phone, something that I heard more and more. Let's a street vendor start accepting digital payments in minutes. What challenges do small merchants and emerging SME markets face, and how is Visa tailoring solutions to overcome them?
Yeah, let's start with the challenges.
Yeah.
We have done a bunch of research around this, and some of the things are not payment related, right? Because small merchants are thinking holistically about their business. So we're talking about increased competition. They're kind of, you know, with side by side with a competitor, the need of making operations more seamless, regulation being complex and then navigating that. Monitoring performance is complicated as well. Challenges with cash flow, that's key. And in general, stressful to plan, even more so now with a lot of uncertainty across the economy. So those are the challenges. And I would say they're even common across regions, right? Like it's just the nature of being a small business. But one thing, just to touch on the topic of tap to phone, in Visa, we like to talk about a concept called billions of sellers. So we believe that anybody can be a seller, right? You might be just perhaps an employee, but you might have a side business, right? How we empower that. And then we put on top another layer, which is 6 billion smartphones that have the ability to enable near field communication or capabilities, NFC. And then we have even more than 60% of enabled cards to be able to pay with contactless technology. So combining all of this, tap to phone is kind of ready to kind of solve and allow sellers to be able to accept payments without needing the device, right? Which is upfront financial cost that they don't want to bear, right? It is new in some situations. It might be a bit particular to say, okay, now my phone can do that. So it requires some familiarization. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, it took a while until one day in Germany, I was in a restaurant and I saw the phone and I said, okay, it's starting. And in Asia, I see it more and more and more. And we have grown quite a lot in the take up. And this helps a lot. Like, let's just reduce costs. That's the key.
In the end, it's probably just inevitable. It's that trend of having ever more parts of our lives and devices and things outside merge into the phone, this magical device that we have with us at all time. Next question is about technology partners, which is kind of dear to my heart because we, like as a startup ourselves for a long time, we're no longer in that space really. We're much more established now. But in the very beginning, it was always very, very hard to work with larger technology, banking and finance companies like yourself. Just for cultural differences also. How does it work for Visa? How do you work with smaller vendors?
Yeah, well, I found like an interesting discussion in every stage in Money 2020 talking about this very topic.
Yes.
And so in the stages that I saw, there was perhaps a RegTech, FinTech with a more established, let's say, legacy player. And they were all talking about collaboration. So I think times have changed, I hope, and or I feel it.
I hope
at least.
For the yes. next crop of entrepreneurs exactly. out there.
So what I was hearing is that everybody is like, we need to combine forces because this is all about win-win and cooperation. So at Visa, definitely we partner with startups all across all regions just to kind of tap into their know-how, knowledge, new technologies, new ideas. And with the humongous reach of our network, combine our efforts and be able to be better together. So uplift everybody everywhere. That's definitely our motto. So I feel it. So we have an innovation center where, like last year, there was an accelerator program where we have 4 startups that kind of graduated from that. So it's very exciting to see this kind of work and then actually leave it and then perhaps use their services without knowing in an everyday situation. So it happens, yeah.
Brilliant. So do you know any current programs or something where startups could get in touch with Visa? Just
top of mind.
Yeah.
Well, in every session, like in this kind of Money 2020 convention, I talked with many already and just kind of
just
getting
walk up
inspired.
To Visa.
And yes, I think there are more and more events where we kind of just get in touch. Each region has its own programs. We did have last year the accelerator program. But yeah, each year we kind of come up with different ways of outreaching, even through governments or other sources to kind of support.
Even to get that sort of visibility is hard for startups in the beginning without funds and so on. Yeah. Right. You mentioned corporations. Visa connects banks, ISVs, and hardware providers. How do you choose and coordinate partners to make sure the whole acceptance stack from tap to phone, real-time settlement works smoothly in the end? Like, that's tall order if you have like different vendors coming in.
Yeah, definitely. We're working to kind of incorporate them and facilitate cooperations between them. So we act as a network at the end of the day, and we recognize the value of each one of the players within the ecosystem. Because at the end, as in the biology world, like each part of the puzzle plays a role. So we're kind of very happy to put players together and try to, in the best case scenario, package different solutions if they're touching us in any way. After all, we're kind of, the end goal is the best user experience or the best enablement for small merchants. So whatever that kind of comes up as the what the users want, what the consumers want, what makes everybody kind of have a win-win scenario, we will support it.
Is that a general thing in Visa as a company to have that user experience focus?
Absolutely, yeah. And more so, I think our end goal is always kind of start with the user experience as a goal and kind of work backwards and see what do we need to get to that point. And being part of a network and an ecosystem, sometimes we cannot do it alone. So partnerships for sure are key.
Right. Fraud prevention is a big topic recently. I just prepared for another talk that I had here on the stage about AI used by criminals and the new like possibilities that generative AI gives them as well. For example, as an ID document fakes at scale, given just publicly available tools, which was very, very difficult before. So what tools or best practices do you recommend that, especially for the small merchants that might be stung by that because they don't know and they don't have the processes. So anything Visa supports there?
Yeah, no, let's start with like, let's say the low code kind of solutions.
Yeah.
First of all, awareness, like cybersecurity awareness is key. I know small merchants have limited time, but like keeping up with trends, like reading up. Governments also offer a lot of kind of resources and information just to be open and be clear, plan potential scenarios, inform their staff about potential threats, I think is very important. Then partnerships. I think it's important to talk to their acquirers, payment facilitators, whomever is their bank. They have information and they shouldn't be shy to ask and say, okay, what do you know? Should be wary about this? Is there anything that you have seen in my account behavior that I could improve? Let's just talk, open the conversation. And I would then close, of course, with the products, as was part of your question.
Yeah.
tokenization, I think it's such a basic element of all of our products or many of our products in the fraud stack that, Visa has. But it's just the fact of protecting data, right? So instead of, let's say, informing or transmitting the card number, the 16-digit, we're converting it to something that it's not legible or is much more difficult to kind of intervene or crack. So this is kind of a fundamental kind of, as I say, building block of fraud. And small merchants can access it. So just reach out to your acquirer, payment facilitator, and ask what are the options in tokenization.
They're obviously also interested in preventing that themselves, yeah.
Absolutely. And it also has not only a protection feature, but it also helps, let's say, improving customer experience in some cases in the e-com space. It also works extremely well with other products. It's like, as I said, a building block. And it increases the payment success rate, which is what everybody wants, right? Like if my user is attempting to buy something, I don't want to add friction to it. So I want it to be as seamless as possible. And if I'm competing with somebody else, I don't want them to kind of lose that in within that payment flow, kind of be demotivated and then go with someone else and buy that product, right? So in this competitive world, it's important to have zero friction. So tokenization is near and dear to our hearts for sure.
Really interesting question for me is what's next? Because this is such a fast developing world. So do you see trends that most excite you for the next wave of small business commerce? What it is you're to define and how is Visa just positioning your acceptance roadmap in that area?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I would say every year, and as you go through conventions, you see there is always a theme, no? But I would say definitely AI and agentic commerce is coming very strong. I don't know if you saw the speaker at the beginning. It was the Reebok in Money 2020, the opening discussion. One of the Reebok, let's say, builders of the company. And he's completely out of the Reebok, like say, scenario, but he's partnering with an AI firm to create and 3D print shoes. And it's all about powered with AI and trying to kind of find the best style that you want. So AI is definitely,
yeah, at exactly. Scale, obviously, yeah.
So AI is definitely kind of powering a lot of things. And as you go through the conventional floor, you will see a lot of that. But for us, it's a very big topic. So I can announce that in April 30th, we will actually have a product drop. So if you look and you put Google Visa product drop, actually there is a way for you to subscribe to the live stream. And there we will be announcing more new products to come. So also on the AI kind of agentic world. So interesting.
AI is accelerating all product development and is firing up things a lot. Like almost resent having to spend so much time learning, not learning, but experimenting with new things. Because on the other hand, I do need to run a business and not just Ghiblify my profile picture, which we all did.
Yes, that was
and,
a nice
And then two
feature.
Weeks later, Sam Altman releases something else entirely with the 03 and 04 models there. And it's a rapid pace at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do have one more question that you don't need to answer for Visa, just on a personal level, but I do ask everybody. So I do want to ask a question. So the idea is if you woke up as the global regulator and you could change things, is there anything you could think that you would concentrate on?
Well, I have seen so many different countries or the different approaches. And to be honest, I am amazed of how all the regulators need to navigate their particularities. And I understand why they're different.
There's cultural differences.
Cultural,
legal
access,
history.
Yes. Yeah, I think I completely understand that. But personally, I think if there was something that we could do to give more digital access to everybody, mm-hmm. I think it would be a key aspect, any way or form, right? Because it really enables somebody to be a bit more independent financially, economically, and perhaps just have a better life. So I think to me, that will be a key aspect.
See, that is a new angle. I've had 50 or so
of
these.
I wonder, no, if they're repeated.
This is a new angle. We had a couple that overlapped. Actually, we had numerous angles to it. A few times we had the unifying of regulations between blocks and countries and so on, which is unlikely to happen, but this is a great angle. Well, Maria, this has been wonderful. It was very easygoing. And thank you so much for making the time, even though we're both headed to the airport and we have to run. Thank you.
No, it was amazing, Klaus. Thank you. And see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of RecTalks. My name is Klaus Christensen, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of award-winning RecTech provider, Know Your Customer. If you liked the episode, please subscribe to the whole series and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us, suggest a guest or a topic for an upcoming episode, please send us a message at info@knowyourcustomer.com or visit knowyourcustomer.com/rectalks.